cliffcentral.com. Let's show you what Durban for sure is. Let me play you some Wallola. Here's Babes Wodumo, right? Doing her thing. So if you've ever seen Babes Wodumo, then you would know what Durban for sure is all about. But nonetheless, a lot of things happened this past week. I hope you guys are good. You haven't been reshuffled. I am still Tumisho Masha on the weekly mashup, and I'm still with my stunning, amazing, talented, beautiful, well-dressed, stylish, great shoes, great head.
Oh, wow.
Co-host.
Thank you, T.
I was getting exhausted
really
at that part.
I really appreciate when you do appreciate me. Because sometimes
I
feel like you don't appreciate me. Like,
you know I do. I'm never going to reshuffle you.
Yes, to hoping.
We had quite a big week in South Africa last week, where a lot of people were shuffled and reshuffled, and a lot of things happened.
Goodness.
There was a radio reshuffle.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a cabinet reshuffle.
There was a lot of reshuffling. There were provinces getting reshuffled.
There was a whole earthquake after the reshuffle. Yeah. Where were you that night? Because I was up that night. I was up late on that particular night. I didn't want to go to sleep early.
Yes.
Just in case. I heard there was rumors of reshuffling because I'm on an ANC WhatsApp group. That's how
okay.
I roll.
So you always know.
So I was like a little bit ahead of the curve.
Yeah, so you kind of knew before the rest of us.
I kind of knew something was up.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of knew when Praveen got called back, right? That was when he was still Praveen, and the next day he was Pravout.
Yes, T. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and you know the memes. I think the one thing I love about being black and having black Twitter.
Yeah,
When the positive parts of black Twitter do hit, these are the moments that I really enjoy.
There are some.
And I saw some tweets and people were like, people called it a tremor, but it was actually Nelson Mandela rolling in his grave.
Good one. Yeah.
People are creative.
Yeah, people are hella creative out there.
So it was quite something.
Uh-huh. And how did you feel about it? Are you hard done by? Do you feel like now the downgrading is going to affect, you know, your junk status? Or rather, the junk status of the country is going to affect your bank account? Because some people's bank accounts have been junk status for years. So what does it matter that we're all now junk status?
That is the truth.
How are you going to complain about being junk status as a country when your own bank account has been junk status for the last decade?
You know what? I think for me, I'm so conflicted about this because firstly, I don't believe that anyone should be neutral because I feel like neutral people are dangerous people.
I'm neutral about this.
No, T, you know what? I feel you're very dangerous. Mm. No. I feel like not neutral in terms of this particular junk status situation, but neutral about, you know, the ongoings of the country because now tomorrow people want to go protest and march. And you know, so a lot is happening because of.
Are you going to go to the march?
I'm so conflicted.
I ain't going
super
to no
conflicted.
March, man. I just
want
to tell
you know what it is. I just want
until all those people organize a march about the people that died in Marikana trying to get a better life. Until those people try to march about, you know, the economic inequalities of this country.
Yes.
Until those people go and try and march about the land issue. Yeah, I ain't going
Can I tell you two things that really pissed me off this week? And that I'm probably not going to go to the march.
Yeah.
And I'm so confused.
And especially if Zilla's going to be at the march.
Can I tell you why?
Okay, tell me.
Okay. Because you stole my one point. She was my number one, but I guess you'll just have to. Firstly, Zilla. Like, I feel like Helen Zilla is just the biggest. She is actually the epitome of what's wrong with the country right now, how people relate to apartheid, how people relate to what's happening currently. Helen Zilla is probably the face of that. She is such a huge problem. So she was number one. That I was like, I'm probably not going to go to the march because of Helen. Number two, a status started circulating on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And the status basically was like, you know, what? Oh, South Africa, the only country where BEE is introduced, where 90% of the people feel like it's unfair for 10% of the people, or what? Feel like they
this
need to protect
such
themselves.
Odd way to
yes,
really explain
wait,
this.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm trying to just think of the status correctly because I got so mad. I had to log off Facebook and I couldn't find it again. So it's basically, oh yes, then they said South Africa, the only country where they feel they need black economic empowerment when black people are 90% of the population. And then I got real mad because I was like, bitch. breathe. Yeah. Because I was like, well, there was a time not so long ago where 10% of the population controlled 90% of the population. So it's really not that far-fetched. But the biggest problem for me came in actually that if the status just reflected how many people shared that status reflected how ignorant people are to actually what's actually happening. And until there's some sort of education around the impacts of apartheid and what they actually mean to today's society, I don't feel like I can support any march of that nature.
That's me, you know. And also I think what's great about the president, Jay-Z, I love him because he's gangster, you know.
He don't care.
What? Yeah, he don't care. And he makes me upset like everybody else. Don't get it twisted. I'm not sitting here going, yeah, he did the right thing. I don't think he did the right thing. Yeah. But what he does is he forces you to choose a side. Mm-hmm. He's very divisive, but he chooses you. He forces you to choose a side. Why? Because what he does is he gets us talking about things that we've forgotten to talk about.
Yes.
What you just said right now is stuff that while I can still drive in my wonderful, you know, car and drive past people who are standing in a line either at 4 a.m. in the morning when I'm driving to gym or some work on that one day and I just see people standing in that queue, long queue, mostly black women, and then I'm driving home and I see the same people standing in that queue at 7, 8 p.m. at night waiting for a taxi. Until someone makes a march about that, you can kiss my ass about the rand going down.
Yeah.
You can kiss my ass about how your overseas investments are being affected by us going into junk status. Because quite frankly, you haven't fought for anybody but yourself and you're still doing that right now.
But can I tell you, the biggest reflection of that is there are actually 2 points on the what I'm about to say. Number one, you shared a very potent status and it's from someone I deeply admire and that I look up to, Max Dupria. And that status, what did it say? And
I'll tell you right now. Let me tell you right now.
And the reason I actually love what Max Dupria said.
Max Dupria's tweet was like, imagine what could have been if we white South Africans were as outraged at apartheid, torture and death squads as we are, Zuma, right now.
Right?
Boom!
Like, drop the damn mic.
That's like, walk away.
That reflects two things in society. Number one, Max Dupria is a very small minority of people, white people who understand the impact of this. But also, until the day can come when a black person can say exactly what Max Dupria said and be taken just as seriously as Max Dupria was taken, then we have not changed. And until that day comes, and then we'll say, okay, you know what? We are actually moving forward as a society. We're moving forward as a country, and we can actually, you know, march against inequality together.
Okay.
But right now, it's not an equal march. Right now, it's not about, you know, the poor people or the people that get evicted from Zandspruit, the people that are, you know, that got killed in Marikana. It's not about that. It's about my pockets are being affected. Now Zuma's got to go.
Zuma must not go anywhere, actually.
But even if
after this conversation, I'm like, Zuma must go nowhere.
No, tell me something. Because now, okay, everyone's got a sole focus, right? Zuma must go. Great. Who's going to take over Zuma's position? How do we know
Cyril,
that whoever...
Because you know who's
Cyril,
you know whose
no
interest...
There's no bigger flop in this country.
You know whose interest Cyril is after, right? Think about it. Lonmin has only got 11% black ownership. A mine in this country, according to the Constitution, should not operate with less than 25% black ownership.
Mm.
It's only got 11%.
Mm.
And guess who's one of those people who
who's
owns
that
11%?
11%.
Cyril Ramaphosa. And guess what Lonmin does? It keeps operating still after Marikana. There's, how many black millionaires has Cyril created? How many people have gone to Shanduka Black Umbrellas? That is Cyril's foundation where you're supposed to be incubating businesses.
Yes.
How many black people can come back and say, because of that, I've become a multi-millionaire?
Mm.
If you can give me
a figure,
100,
yes.
I'm taking no less than 100, then you know what? I don't care what Cyril has done.
You know,
and he's just a billionaire on his own. It's like one of those things where it's like, oh, you're the good black, come in and sit down and keep quiet.
But
that's all.
But the biggest problem I also have is that people look at South Africa and they look at Zuma as a one sole problem, right? Because they're like, oh, he's so corrupt. Like, our government cannot run on such a corrupt system. I hate to break it to y'all. Every single politician around the globe is corrupt.
Think about
to
Donald
some
Trump.
Degree
Who's
going to
build that Mexican wall?
But not even that. See, the most squeaky clean and loved president president right now, Barack Obama. He was corrupt as hell.
Don't say that about Barack.
I know, and I hate to say it because I love Barack. I love Barack. But as soon as we let go of this ignorance that only people who are, you know, only Zuma. The biggest problem I have with Zuma is that he's overtly corrupt and he takes too much. He's greedy. You know, and he's not, unlike other presidents
who have
been corrupt.
Because you know, Kunibusa's getting the nuclear deal, right?
Other presidents who have been corrupt, at least they don't push it in our faces.
They leave a little bit of stuff. They leave a couple of crumbs at the table for the rest of us.
They actually do some shit that's supposed
all right,
to be done.
Listen, anyway. I need to have the three life lessons that I learned from the reshuffle.
Reshuffle, yeah.
Okay, number one, There's no such thing as a good time to reshuffle. And this is like life, love, relationships. Well, it's like if you want to get married, you want to get married, you want to have a baby. You're not going to be like, you know, babe, I think now is the right time. No, there's never a good time to reshuffle your life.
Ever.
Your life will be reshuffled whether you like it or not.
And if you're not reshuffling it, someone else is.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There you go. Number two, the best man or woman doesn't always get the job in a reshuffle.
Right?
You know what I'm saying?
Right?
How many people out there have broken up with somebody and then there's been a reshuffle and then you were like, this is the one. And a couple of months later, you were like, that was not the one. Okay. How many people have fired somebody from their job thinking, I am tired of this person, and then got the next person and thought, this is the one. And then you realize that wasn't the one.
How many times do you miss out on a job because you're not willing to lie on your back?
Exactly. We're going to get to that later on. Because that's a story in itself.
Throwing it in.
We've got some amazing things on the show, by the way. We've got Ari Stiller and Nonkululeko Ndlovu are coming in to talk about film and producing and how they won a SAFTA award. But we're also going to talk about your life and how you are trying to reject your way to the top as opposed to sleep your way to the top, which I find commendable. But I think it's going to take a while before we see those millions coming in. But now to get to number three.
Optimistic.
There will always be an uproar or an earth tremor after a life reshuffle.
Oh, yeah.
But it will just come and go.
Yeah.
How many times have I seen these marches? Everybody's marched. Zuma's still there, guys.
Yep.
He ain't going nowhere until he decides to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So in your life, when things are being reshuffled, don't worry.
Take a breather.
Take a breather. Things will go really, really bad, and you'll be wondering, how did I get so unlucky? But after the reshuffle, you'll be just fine.
Wow. See, actually, I have to tell you, those are actually three really great lessons.
Oh, yeah?
I feel like, no, you really thought about this one.
I've been thinking about this reshuffle.
Like, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed these topics.
Because it happened, right? And I remember waking up the following day, and my whole family was like in uproar. My sister wanted to do a fast for half the day. You know, who's going to... I was like, dude, I'm enjoying you for nothing. Okay? Because when things were good economically, no one paid any of my bills. When things are bad economically, I'm going to march for you. A couple of months ago, I was a little bit short. You know what I mean? The bank was promising to repossess my house. Ain't nobody did a march for me. Fasted and prayed. No, I had to figure it out. So you know what I'm doing this Friday? I'm going to work. Because if my bank account is going to be junk status, it's going to be because I did it, not because Praveen was in or Praveen was out.
Yeah, that's wow, T. That's amazing. All right. I really love this.
So let's talk about this thing of yours. You've got this whole thing now. I know you said this year you're going to say a lot more no's in general, right? which is no to everything, right?
No.
Even opportunities to sleep your way to the top.
People are listening.
Which has been a proven career and enterprise development move that works.
Okay, can I say something firstly?
Yeah.
No, so how this came about is I was just joking with Tien saying I'm making a lot of very powerful enemies on my path. And
Why are you making those enemies?
Okay,
because you're refusing to sleep with people who could get you a leg up.
Can I clarify? So I've been very privileged to meet very influential people.
Yeah.
And some people I've looked up to, so it's been devastating for me, trust me.
When this person you looked up to turns around and says, hey, nice ass, by the way.
I'm like, I was 10 when I looked up to you, asshole. Now you've devastated me.
Now you're 50 and you want to sleep with me. Get away. Okay.
Okay. So, so basically what happens is sometimes I get into situations where, because I think because maybe I'm friendly, but I mean, I'm very professional. Even at my friendliness, I'm very professional. And people take that as being, you know, an opening to, you know, try and...
Because you smiled a couple of times and you laughed at one or two of the jokes, right?
Exactly.
So basically that means I can now say, so, you want to come to my hotel room later?
And it's not even like that. You know, it always starts off with something very subtle, like, oh my goodness, you know, next meeting, can we actually grab lunch instead of meeting at the office because it's stuffy and I can't get, I can't think.
Who would say no to an invitation like that?
Okay, and I love food, so that's track
that's
number
true.
One.
Yeah. Watch out for those big teeth.
Track.
That's little Red Riding Hood.
That's how they trap everything.
Exactly, with food.
So, exactly. And then I get to these meetings, and it's happened a couple of times, and I'm sure every woman experiences this at some level or another. I get to these meetings, and then these people will start off by saying, oh, before we get to business, let's just, how are you? And then you're like, no, I'm good. So, can we just... And then next thing you know, like at the end of the meeting, they're asking you if you'd like to hang out or if you'd like to, you know, chill at on a weekend or in the evening. And then you know it's game over for you. And then next thing you know, like I ask people to be guests on the show and they agree and then they stand me up.
Oh, because you said
revenge.
No. So how's this working, rejecting your way to the top? Are you finding that, like,
it's clearly not
your career trajectory is going in the right direction?
It's, you know what? It's, I have to tell you.
It's going a little bit slower than it was
last
year.
I look at the woman who stepped their way to the top and I'm like, I won't do it, but I see why you did it. It's fucking hard. It is so hard. You know, there's nothing more devastating. There's nothing more devastating than spending your hard earned time and you are working on proposals and these people are letting you think that this is really it.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, they're like, you concealed this deal.
And you're ladies, like, it doesn't always work that way, though.
No thanks.
So we commend you, Candy. Thank you for that life lesson. I personally have always never turned down an opportunity to sleep my way to anything, really.
Nombula apparently is always open, so...
Who's she again?
She's one of the ministers.
Oh.
I don't even know what
yeah,
she is
look,
right
I, that's where I draw the line. I just don't do ministers. Huh? Until there's some good-looking ministers. Like, can you imagine, like, well, Batabile Dlamini on some... Listen, you want this SASSA contract? You know what to do, big boy. I'll be like, you know what? Fuck it. I guess I'm just going to stay broke.
I don't know. You know what? I think genuinely the only reason I say no is because I actually enjoy sleeping at night.
Okay.
Like, you know, I enjoy not having demons haunting me at night.
Or flashbacks.
Or flashbacks.
Of that guy
flashbacks.
Naked.
Flashbacks.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, for a good night's sleep, I'll say no.
Sweating and huffing and puffing on top of me. Because that's real. That's what it actually looks like, ladies.
That
that's the real
disgusting.
Picture. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Anyway, we've got some amazing people in the studio right now. But before we do that, can I just play a quick song?
Please.
This is one of my favorites. Chance the Rapper, multiple Grammy Award
amazing.
Winning rapper. This boy is amazing. Here we go, just for a second. Yeah, you know, I love Chance the Rapper because...
Me too.
And there's a because. Because not only is he a really talented rapper, mm-hmm. but he gives, like, all glory to God, and he just knows where his power, his personal power comes
yeah.
from. He doesn't back off on that one.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I like people who are sure about themselves.
Conviction.
Conviction.
I love conviction. I don't care what you believe, if it's
just,
good,
but
if it's
believe
good.
Something, yeah.
Believe fucking hell. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing worse than someone who's got no backbone. Like,
you
it's
don't
just.
Nothing? What's wrong?
Nothing.
With you? Why don't you believe? What's wrong with
just
you?
To have a backbone.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
In the studio with us this morning, we have my co-producers.
Yes.
But, you know, that's not why they're on the show. Like,
well, probably is, but
people.
You know.
We've got the lovely. Nonku Ndlovu.
Hello.
And we've got Mr. Ari Stiller. What's up, guy?
Hey, all good, all good.
Now, Ari, when he came to the studio, he refused to get onto Cliff Central Wi-Fi because he's an older citizen. And,
he was like, I'm 46. I'm like, I think I dated
I
a 46-year-old. But
thanks. Yeah.
I was like, he was completely into Wi-Fi, but you know... Yeah.
I wasn't offered the Wi-Fi, guys. Is this
no,
it because I'm black?
No.
Probably.
It probably is, but... but no, I just made a general announcement, and then I got shut down so quickly, I was like, okay, I'm not making it again. So,
so guys, you've just come from the SAFTAs after winning the award for Best Made for TV Film, the sticker. First of all, Ashinoku, tell us a story about the sticker. What's the movie about?
The stick up is about a young man who works at a petrol station, mm-hmm. In just a dead end place in his life, mm-hmm. also in a dead end place, really, where the petrol station is.
And he's in a relationship.
And he's in a relationship with a bitch.
Oh,
with a bitch of a girl.
That's a dead end as well.
It's a dead end. Okay. So everything in his life is a dead end.
All right.
So basically, you know how it happens in life. Mm-hmm. Something happens to jolt you either to move up and be a hero mm-hmm. or stay in a dead end cycle.
There was a reshuffle.
Not quite, but there was a stick up.
Okay, all right.
So he can rise and be a hero, or he can carry on with a dead end life.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah. That sounds like a great story. Mm. And but I mean, you guys made it for next to nothing. Ari, tell us about producing, and please speak into the mic if you would. Producing a movie like that for a very, very small budget. What were the challenges of doing something and creating something that could be SAFTA award winning?
Yeah, well, I think the thing was, first of all, getting the money and getting the guys to actually back the story. Mm-hmm. And that started with a perfect, well, near-perfect script that Bradley Katzen had written, mm-hmm. and he ended up directing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole thing was about actually getting the right talent and the right crew together on the small amounts of money that we had.
So there was a lot of begging and BJs.
Man, I tell you, what went on in that back room, I can't repeat. But yeah, but I think this one was actually written in the stars, because how I got together with Nonku was a bit of a strange coincidence of sorts.
Oh, okay. How did you guys get together?
It must have been about 2 years before that. I was speaking to Mnet about getting this program together about training the youth and getting them into the Mnet program and that. And at that meeting, funny enough, I met Nonku and took a number down.
Yeah,
there you go. There you go.
How do you know Silo Chikotwala?
Through my dad.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah. Not wait, what you're thinking.
Wait,
next.
Wait, no. Who's your dad? Is your dad someone like really
Duman
famous?
Duman
Dlovu. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. And we're just going to
So you're television and film royalty, actually.
I accept, yes. Second generation filmmaker.
What's your Twitter handle? The princess of TV and film?
Well, I must
it
say, my life...
Some people are the prince of theater, so you should be the princess, right?
Well, I'll take that. But I do say Begville Princess in my Instagram feed.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So then you find yourself in a situation where you are also a producer yourself.
Yes. I'm a producer mainly because I started out as an actress. Mm-hmm. And with my fierceness and the way I grew up with a very politically active father who was exiled. I grew up with a mom who is a no-nonsense, cookie lion kind of a woman.
Ooh, wow.
And so always having to audition, and sometimes for roles that you don't even believe in at the time. Mm. And also being from a black consciousness family, you know, the roles that were offered to us at the time, I thought, I've got to have more kind of a direction in what I take and what I don't take.
Yeah.
And my agent just said, you should just be lucky to get roles. You can't say yes or no.
Look, as a black female filmmaker, do you think now we've gotten to a point where there are strong black female characters in any of our shows?
Of course. I mean, internationally,
South Africa.
Yes.
International, yes.
South Africa, yes. Because you know what? I'm seeing a lot of telenovelas on TV. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of black, strong female characters on TV. Mm-hmm. And that's a start. We have to start somewhere.
Mm. I think the Fergusons did an amazing thing.
Oh,
yes, with the Queen. I was actually about to mention the Queen. Mm-hmm. I must say also with The Wild, I was very impressed. I was impressed also with High Rollers, you know, those type of shows. Mm. So just the quality as well has
got better. Isibaya has got a nice, matriarch who really is like, doesn't take any crap from anyone. But it's important for us to see those kind of images.
Exactly. Yeah. Love is a four-letter
word. Oh, yes, that was a great movie.
Yes. Where you had four ladies in the lead and it was about their lives. So, yes, I think we've come a long way. We're doing very well in that aspect.
And you're now in the training side of things. You run a training school. What's that called?
It's called Eagles Academy. Actually, it's funny. What happened is a colleague of mine and I would always look for fresh young talent. And what we began to notice is that when people send emails through and they come for interviews, they were so ill-equipped to represent themselves even in the interview. So they would have something that you want from them or that they have a potential in. But because they couldn't speak properly, they didn't have the confidence, their email was written in, I kid you not, SMS lingo.
Oh.
I kid you not.
Okay.
So we decided, okay, instead of complaining about the young black youth, why not be the change that you want to see in the world?
Dope,
so we started workshops, and then very soon that turned into, they were bursting at the seams, because first we started the SABC, and then that turned into, let's formalize it. We made a school, and then soon I met the MEC of Education, Banyaza Lesufu, who said, look, this is what the government's supposed to be doing.
I'm so glad he wasn't reshuffled.
He's like, he actually does good work.
Yes, exactly. So he made me education ambassador because of the school. And now, as a consequence of that, I've started the Banyaza Lesufu Education Foundation.
That's incredible. I'm actually active
in education, making sure that we have drama in schools, that we have English and writing in schools, because we actually have a lack of black writers for films.
So would you ever go back to acting?
I am still in acting.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Ari, you are known as Mr. Producer. You'll do anything as a producer to make something work. There was a movie we were talking about earlier that you tried to make in Cape Town that I really enjoyed the story. The Legend? What was it called? The Legend in South Africa.
Oh, yes.
So tell me about this movie that you tried to produce back in, where was it, 2016? Last year?
Yeah, well, last year. It's.
And you're still here. Look at you.
Yeah, I survived. Well, interesting. I don't want to go into too much detail, let's cut it short, because the bottom line was
it's a kung fu movie. Right?
It was supposed to be a kung fu movie, and we had Jackie Chan's stunt squad out, and they were excellent bunch of guys, completely talented, and our director, who was also the executive producer, because he was using his own money to fund the film, so there was a lot of pressure on him, and he didn't trust our South African counterparts, so he flew his six.
Also, the director was also from China.
No, this is the man. It's his story.
Oh,
he directed, he put his own money in, so that's why it was sort of a legend.
Did he star in it as well?
Correct. So this is the man who wanted to do, he wanted to make
guy.
A movie. And I was just quite
that's
happy to, that's not a way to make a movie. And this is the whole thing, is that it became a thing of, you know, like 65 Chinese guys that he flew over to make this movie. And I and a friend of mine, Rory, were the only South African contingency.
Wow.
So we ran the show, and basically what happened was our lead actor, director, and producer, and executive producer ended up having a stroke.
Oh, damn.
So
put a stop to
that put a stop to it. But the funny thing was, and I'll tell you a quick little story. I have many stories on this show. But the doctor actually said to me, look, This guy who's just had a stroke here, do you think you'll be able to keep him here? I said, what do you mean? He's just had a stroke. Well, he's a different type of guy.
Oh.
And please, can you try keep him here for like 3-4 days?
What?
So I went into the room, and this is what the doctor said to me.
What?
And then I went into the room and I said, Mr. So-and-so, because I don't want to mention names, I would really, really like you just to stay here and just relax. Let's call him Mr. Yin Yang. Yeah, it was a bit of a yin yang. So I sat there for about 10 minutes, really pleading with him to stay in the hospital, and I'm going to have to put a stop to the movie because you are the star of the show. You are the star of the show, and you cannot do fight sequences after having a stroke. So he agreed with me and told me, this is great. Well, let's put a stop to it. I walked out of the hospital, went to the car, and just had a feeling that I don't think this guy's telling me the truth. I turned around. I walked back inside. He was gone.
Oh.
He had called his PA to get him. He had started phoning the whole crew to say, don't listen to Ari. Ari, not right. We shoot movie.
Wow.
Okay.
This guy's 65 years old. And his morning training routine was beating up a wall.
He was a machine. He was an absolute machine. He's still, I can believe that he still is a machine, because that guy's still, like I say, he had a stroke and he was up and he was dead.
Be killed.
Yeah.
So what does a producer do? Ari, what do you do as a producer? Because everyone says I want to be a producer. I am a producer. I'm producer, but they don't like really produce anything. What does a producer do?
You know, it's funny. I think it comes down to what production you're on, because there are producers that like to stand at the back and tell everyone that this is what you got to do, and then they sort of take a back seat. I am definitely not that type of person.
Okay.
So if there's something to be done, I will ask someone to do it, and if they're not getting to do it, I'm in there and I'm doing it.
And then you still pay them?
Well, you got to pay them. I mean, look, I've fired a lot of people, but the next day they're back on set because Nonku will definitely. I'll fire them the next day if they do something wrong. But it's still the thing of, it's just, you know, with us on this movie, it was such a good atmosphere. And the thing was, I was because they're all trainees, so I'm saying, if you're in the real world, buddy, you're gonna get fired like this. So that's why I was so-called firing.
I've learned that sometimes the best thing to do is just take someone to the car park, have a quick, you know, 1-2, 1-2. Fist fight always solves everything.
Hey, man, we had about 3 or 4 of those,
and
eh?
Come back and everyone's friends again. Is that how you like to do it, Nonku?
Not really.
No. Yeah. Like, Nonku and I were like, what?
No, they are labor laws. But anyway,
yes,
moving right along, we still do live in, like, a civilized society. But anyway, So,
but you're also a producer yourself.
I am a producer.
You run a school and you produce as well.
I'm so glad that you're mentioning this because, you know, before I became a producer, I used to meet some really mean women who were producers.
The meanest.
Yeah, the meanest. And I was told all the time, producers are bitches. Like, you know, they're not nice people, whatever. Mm. And when I became a producer, I kind of thought, I actually wouldn't like to be like, you know. But in the corporate world, when I used to work in the, I was actually nicknamed Ball Breaker.
In the corporate world. This is so interesting.
I actually was in marketing. I used to work for Dimension Data, Telcom. I was in IT.
Because
my dad never wanted me to be actually in.
Because he knew best.
TV,
like, this is not the place to be.
He was like, people going to car parks and beat each other up.
Yeah. But let's just move on. Anyway, so it's interesting that you mentioned that. But what I've seen now is that, and it's very hard dealing with human beings, is that you've got to marry fierceness. And you've got to gauge when to be fierce with, like, kind-heartedness and, like, not destroying a soul.
I like that.
Especially when you're a believer, because you've got to say this person has to be redeemable beyond this movie.
One of the most satisfying things that happened on this movie was we had a gentleman and one of the Nonku's students.
Yeah.
And he was in the wardrobe department. And I tell you, I think I fired him at least 3 times a day for about a week. And eventually, I shifted him to the sound department. And after 3 days, he came back to me and said, you know, Ari, thank you. I found my passion.
Yeah.
And that, you know, like, did it for me. You know, it's like, this is what we're doing. We're trying to give the guys the skills and to let them feel that passion of actually filmmaking and making it happen.
And how did it feel when you guys won this after what you'd gone through?
For me, using 90-95% students in crew and cast, that for me is like the big win. Number one. Number two, on a 350,000 rand budget, that's a big win.
Wow.
Number three, I really have to stress this, the unity on the set. And I told Ari before we won the SAFTA, before I said to them, I really want to carry on working with you guys. I've never been on a set where there was so much unity, so much of brotherhood. My brother died while I was shooting this movie.
Oh, man.
And he was murdered. And I'm telling you, it was a case of, we, you know how they say the movie must go on, showbiz must go on. I didn't tell anybody until we did the last scene because I didn't want, my son is starring in the movie, I didn't want him to be affected. I didn't want anybody else to be, I didn't want people to crowd
was
around
your son,
me.
Teppo?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
You've been around a while, haven't you?
But she looks so good.
Thank you.
No, I think she's kidding. Who was your son in the movie?
No. Yeah. So the lead character, Teppo.
That's your son?
His real name is Isaac. Yes.
Get the hell
that's
out
my
of
son.
Here.
Yes, that's my son.
Oh, wow.
And actually, that's funny because I was driving to work And I was dropping him off at the SABC because he's a junior producer. He's a producer now at the SABC. Mm-hmm. And he was like, so what are you guys? I said, no, we're auditioning for this film. Whatever. He says, can I audition? I said, oh, I don't know. I said, well.
And they didn't tell me that it was a set.
Yes. I said, well, you know. And we were sitting in the car. And I said, well, you know. And I said, you know what? I'm actually big on training our children while we go up. Because that's one thing my dad didn't do with me and my parents didn't do with me. And I still resent that.
I suppose it's one of those, like, black parents had this thing, especially in the 80s, like, this is what I do and I'm never going to tell
exactly
you what it is.
What it is, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we must just learn and inherit things by osmosis, which doesn't work. So I then said, okay, you know what? Cool. And I gave him the script. And he had the script a few minutes before the audition. And he came in and he wowed.
Killed it.
And I didn't tell them this is my son.
Killed it.
And then as we're sitting, we're discussing the finalists. They were like, okay, so, and then they mentioned, and I said, okay, guys, now that you've got him in the callback, I have to declare this is my son. They were like, oh, wow. And that's how that happened.
Wow.
He was a revelation. Yeah. I would never have thought.
Wow.
Okay, so what is your, when you produce and you find an amazing script, what's the next thing that you do? Or do you find the script or do you find the writer? In fact, before we even get to that, do you find a script or do you find a writer? What's the first thing that you do as a producer?
So we'll hear from Ari just now. Basically, you find a writer. I've just told you we have a lack of black writers in the country.
Yeah.
My dad is always complaining about how there's such a lack. They're looking all the time for black writers. Some people know how to write. Yes, they know how to write, but then culturally they lose it. Yeah. For instance, you'll have a scene with a black man negotiating lobola in a bathtub and you're thinking, mm-mm.
That would never happen.
But that actually, I saw that on an episode on TV.
Ah.
And you see, that's how
that's
you know people don't know. No, I'm not.
Like customary. Like, I mean, guys, I feel like that kind of customary. I mean, I'm not even like fully traditional, but even I know how lobola gets negotiated.
Exactly.
You're not just going to be on the phone like, oh, you want her? Oh, well, that's going to be about 20,000.
Exactly.
Oh, you only have 15. Okay, no, you just come drop it off, bro.
And you're from Ramsey.
So you find the writer, and I believe they have to have that cultural element. So you have to say to your writer, listen, like with the one script I'm reading that we're doing now, I had to say to Brad, it, with black families, the parents have to be there. Even if she's died or whatever, you have to make reference to her. Mm. We don't have families where you just don't mention the mother or you don't mention the father. Mm. So you find the writer and you groom them.
Okay.
Ari, over to you.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing was finding the right script that, because we got this money through Mzansi. And, Mzansi Magics. And, you know, the thing was actually finding the right content written in the right way, because we had to pitch this. I mean, it took us 2 years to get them to say yes. Finding the right.
You know what I'm saying? I would have sold.
Hey, man, let's talk. So it was just about getting the right script and getting the right story that would blend with what they wanted, which worked.
Okay.
You know,
interesting conversation that I heard yesterday with the CEO of the NFVF, and one of the things was the difficulty of getting a film to market. What do you think has been some of the difficulties that producers face, and how do you plan to get around them when it comes to getting a film to market in this particular economy with Sterkinico and New Metro and that sort of thing?
You know, I'm a worker, so I love set. I love actually getting the picture together. I'm a very, as much as I'm hard and I can swear and I can be cross, I'm actually, well,
that's all they do on set.
Well, you know,
I
don't think about that. But you know, the thing is, it's actually a people's person thing while you're actually doing. Like, if I tell you that we had the police and the squad cars and how many times they came to our set.
Yeah.
Because they thought there was a sticker.
Stick up at the petrol station.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
So it was a thing of, and like everybody's like panicking, and it's me who steps forward and says, well, guys, guess what? We're not actually sticking up this place. We're shooting a movie. Mm. And you make a big signboard saying filming in progress, but people don't look at that. They just look forward and they see guns and they're on the phone. So it's a thing of keeping your cool and talking to crew and then talking to public and actually getting that shot done. And it was difficult because we were shooting while the petrol station was open. So it was a matter of shooting, waiting for customers. And sometimes there's customers that don't really give a hoot about your shoot.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. So it's
they're
just,
gonna take their time.
Hey man, for free. Sure they're gonna try getting that shot.
I'm gonna get this shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
you know,
be on TV, my mom on TV.
Like I'd like to give a shout out to my moms.
Or oh, those ones who randomly
mama.
Wave like you're just doing on hi.
Yeah.
Like,
so
that's,
so that's the thing of just so getting back to what you were saying is you know, it's not my forte of getting that movie sold. I've always been on the make and made, you know. Right. So it's getting to be a with the stick up. I'm learning a whole lot of where we actually going to get this thing to make the actual money, because it's always been a commissioned. I've always been a freelancer, so it's I know I've got my money. I don't mind. I don't care where this goes. You know.
I think that's one of the things that's holding us back as producers in South Africa. The fact that a lot of producers have grown up. Or have even been in the industry for so long on commissioned work,
where yeah.
you're just actually a manager. You're not really a producer, because producing is selling a movie, right? But we don't do that.
Yes. I'm glad you're talking about this, because with me, my mom was an amazing marketer and my dad is an amazing creative person. But I had to look at the two people, especially with my dad, and say, he's amazing at creative, but is he amazing at business?
Mm.
Is he amazing at selling? Is he amazing at... And now, because he's got a long-running series, Mobango, I tend to think, oh, I don't really like being in studio all the time, because it just doesn't make you think on your feet all the time. So
yeah.
Now I have that difference of like shooting outside and shooting in studio, because studio people just really they shoot asleep, really.
Quite
with
comfortable.
The it's very comfortable. Mm. And then also
I've seen
boom swingers, literally after lunch. Yes, exactly. And then so I had to then say, okay, as second generation, what can I do better? And those are the things that I'm now starting to say, okay, I definitely want to sell. I definitely want to go into distribution. And I wanted to talk about Thabo for a moment, who I absolutely love. He's a friend of mine. Look at what Thabo has done.
Oh, Thibaut Touch.
Yeah. You know, so okay.
No name dropping. She's actually friends with Thabo.
Yeah, we were in New York. Broke together, yeah. Sharing the Metro card.
You just didn't pick up the American accent though.
No, but
he's okay with
Ubabam was that African person.
Yeah.
And this was like right in the middle of New York. I wasn't allowed to relax my hair. I wasn't allowed, you know, all of those things.
Mm.
But so that's what I'm now trying to perfect. And then I look at second generation people. I look at Donald Trump's children. I look at maybe Paris Hilton, and I say, what are they perfecting about their fathers or their legacies before?
Wow.
So I think that's where we can start to say, and you know what? Use the names. Use Dumisho to get you on his show. Use Thibaut Touch to get you on his show.
Yeah.
Use your father's name to get on Morning Live
important.
Or whatever.
I love what you said, because a lot of the times
networking.
We don't understand the idea of legacy.
Yes.
There's a legacy that you have
definitely.
That we cannot deny. But if you don't use it, who must use it?
Yes.
Yes.
A
exactly.
lot of people are dying to have that legacy. You have it. Can you please use it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but
you told me an interesting story. I don't know if you want to ask a question, but you can ask your question. I just want to say, you told me an interesting story earlier about some of the students that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're interesting people from around, you know. One
okay,
of them
so
was an actual
I can.
Gangster.
Yeah, so I can talk, well, more than one. I had about maybe three.
Oh, okay.
But I can talk on and on about my students. And this sounds like a cliche, but when you go into training or any situation and you think you're going to better a situation, you always end up being humbled and you being the person who's learning.
Wow.
And this is what Eagles Academy has done for me. I think I have lived in a bubble for a long time. But my students, when you find out that, first of all, I didn't even know there's a township called Klipfontein until I had students.
I don't even know it's in Midrand.
Okay. Midrand. And so a lot of my students were coming from the very creative. First of all, you have students who've given up on life. Youth who are just like sitting at home. They haven't gotten jobs, which you've heard the story about the high unemployment. And they just don't think their life is going anywhere. So they're sitting at home. They're taking grants and being extras or wanting to be extras. Mm. So a lot of the students come to me and they want to be extras. And so basically, I take a lot of extras. This is such an interesting story.
That's awesome. awesome though.
A lot of extras. And I say to them, and then we start a workshop and I say, okay, do you know what TV is? Do you know what a boomswinger is? Do you know continuity? Mm. Do you know? Mm. And then from there, we go from there. And then people start opening up, just like the guy who said, wow, I actually didn't want to be in wardrobe. Sound is my thing. Yeah. Mm. But because they didn't know there's sound, there's continuity, there's, you know.
Mm.
So yes, I had gangsters, and the one guy didn't come to school for about 2 months. So I asked his best friend and I said to him, listen, where's so-and-so? Careful not to mention names. He said, oh, you know, yeah, you know, so he shallowed a girl from the other lokshin, and he pissed off the guys, the gangsters there, and so they beat him up. And then his brother, who's a gangster because they're all gangsters in the family, found those three guys and he shot them. I was like, oh, okay, so they're in hospital. He was like, no, they're dead. They all shot dead. I was like,
this is a movie.
Say what? Yes, exactly. So he didn't come to school, and then after that he came to school. But the amazing story about that is that seeing people's lives changing from, like, this is my only life. I'm a gangster, I shoot people, whatever. Or I was pregnant when I was a teenager, my life is over, or whatever. Mm. To, like, I can write, I can put this on paper, I can record a documentary, I can go in and tell my story.
Mm.
A lot of the students now can turn their stories into films. Short
wow.
films.
So guys, when do we get to see this movie? When do we get to see the stick up?
Yeah, well, you know, like I well, it was on TV, you know, like I say, I'm also learning the distribution side of things, and there are legalities to what and when and where you can actually show it. So so we've put a few suggestions forward to Mzansi, and we'll see what they come back with. Because
but as long as you're not making any money if you're going to show it, you guys can put it up at film festivals.
Yes, and definitely. Oh, nice. And as a lecturer, I'm going to use it to say lectures from an award-winning film, and then use it to teach.
And there's the Wednesday night
first Wednesdays,
right?
That would be amazing. But where do people find you guys?
Well,
I don't know, since you don't use Wi-Fi.
Ari.
Yeah, that's my wife's department.
I literally had a conversation with Ari where I said, okay, so on Instagram, and he was like, what's that? Like, okay.
So don't even bother looking for Ari.
Yes.
Nonku
Film on Twitter, Film on Instagram. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Fabulous,
Eagles
guys.
Academy, if anyone wants to join.
Eagles Academy, you have to go onto Eagles Academy Instagram. And also, you can send us an email, nonkululego@turningheads.co.za.
Okay.
And we'll take it from there. We do audition people. We don't accept everyone. We have a long waiting list.
Okay.
And the problem I had at the beginning was that everybody wants to be an actor. Everybody wants to be famous.
Because it looks so easy.
Yes, exactly. So you have to write and actually produce a script and then tell us the various departments of that script.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
Dope.
Awesome.
It's Inside Job Media. Just, you'll find us. Inside apparently, we are on Instagram and Twitter Facebook.
Right, your wife just sent you.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Okay. So.
I take it you guys are doing some new stuff anyway as we wrap this up.
Yes, we're actually about to produce a horror film.
Ravenswood.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know, but horror is the highest grossing genre at the moment.
Everyone likes being scared, except me.
Okay.
Yeah, I also don't watch it. I'll make it, but...
And then, Ari, talk about our other projects?
Well, you know, the thing was, the SAFTA winning award actually opened up a lot of doors.
Mm.
And, you know, even within Mzansi and Mnet, you know, it's given us a wider scope of what we can actually achieve. And besides that, we're talking to a couple of guys from overseas.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, Mill Creek. Look, I don't know whether I should talk about it or not.
No,
but
not yet.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So,
we got to get out of here, because the next show is about to happen. So, thank you very much for
Thank you, guys.
Us.
Bye.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks. CliffCentral.com.